Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The whole world's coming to an end, Mal.
The angels, Mickey. They're coming down for us from heaven. And I see you riding a big red horse. You're driving the horse, whipping them. Bitten and frothing all on the mouth, and they're coming right at us. And I see the future. There's no death. You and I were angels.
I love you, man.
I know you do, baby. I've loved you since the day we met.
All right, tonight on The Unknown Show, we're going to talk to Matthew Simmons, author of the recently released short story collection, Happy Rock. We're also going to have Jason Harden come on the show. He's a multi-talented poet, painter, musician, skateboarder, he does it all. And he'll be calling in from some sun-drenched field, I'm told. Then later on, we're going to talk to Stephanie Brian Anderson. She's a real fantastic writer, and one half of the edited combo from the site Up the Staircase, which is the site that really always just blows me away, you know? So thanks for listening to the show. Feel free to get over here. Things are just starting to settle down, like, ever so slightly. Summertime. It's getting hot now. I work outside every day, but, you know, it's not that bad. My book Tollbooth is almost ready for the printers. I've been looking over the proofs the last couple nights and making some final corrections. And also, the Wasn't That Special anthology, which is something I've been fucking around with for a while. It's coming along pretty great. And I'm just piecing together the artwork for that and looking over some of the writing for some edits. For those of you who don't know, Wasn't That Special of an anthology where 25 writers talk about how they lost their virginity. Pretty badass stuff. You know, consider if you think everybody has a similar story, but everybody's different. It's pretty crazy how varied it is, you know. And speaking of badass stuff, I just want to give a shout out to Cleftjaw, whose submissions are open right now. If you're looking for a home for some of your far-out poetry or prose, consider Cleftjaw. The full-color cut-and-paste scene began digitally and posted online. Just some real great stuff. Those kids actually, the Cleftjaw kids, are currently making their way out to the Bay Area for a real big weekend at the Beast Crawl. Are you around or in the Bay Area, you should make your way over there and say hello to the lovely Lindsay Thomas, whose book I just did a ton of layout on. It's edited by Frankie Metro, and it's just a really, really, really cool book. It's called Blind Date at the Glass Eye Disco, and it should be coming out pretty soon. Look for that from Cleftjaw. So Lindsay, Frankie, Aurora Kill Poet, Jessica Dawson, Brian Dawson, and many others will be popping up at the Atomic Prom during the Beast Crawl. I'm sad as fuck that I won't be able to make it out there. But after the show, I gotta get my crap together because right after work tomorrow at the refinery, I'm headed down the NJ Turnpike with all the other assholes, and I'm going to the beach, and I'm gonna drink some beer, and do all that summertime shit you're supposed to do. First off, I'm going to talk to Jason Harding. I think he's on the line right now. Okay, let's see here. Jason, are you there on the line?
Hello. Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How you doing?
Good. I'm in a field in Wyoming, so if I cut out, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. If I cut out, I'm sorry, too, because you know, it's just how this goes. So for everybody listening right now, we're talking to Jason Harding. He's a poet, artist, all-around cool guy. I've never met you in person, Jason, but I heard a lot of nice things about you from a lot of other people. And just to rattle off. Yeah, right. And just to rattle off a little bio for anybody who's interested, Jason's work has appeared in a bunch of journals and magazines, 3AM, Monkey Bicycle, Word Riot. I love Word Riot. And he has two books of poetry out on Wolf Carson's Epic Right Press and Luminox Press. He's been an editor for Wolverine Farm Publishing and the Front Range Review in Fort Collins. And you live in a commune in Fort Collins, right, Jason?
Yeah, pretty much. I live with like seven other people. Yeah, it's pretty much a commune. It's kind of illegal, but I don't think anyone in Fort Collins is listening, so it's all good.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's listening. There's probably, you know, probably like my mom. My mom listens, and I think the other guests they might be listening. Their moms are probably listening, so it's all good.
It's all good.
So yeah, man, I got a lot of crap to talk to you about. I first became aware of you because you know, like I said, mutual friends, whatever, and it's somebody, you know, on Facebook or whatever commenting on one of your paintings. There's some really cool paintings I saw that you do, which impressed me, man. Like, it was like one with Muhammad Ali, Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And what's your interest with the art stuff? Have you been doing that a long time, painting, or is that just something that's kind of creeping in recently?
I just started recently, pretty much. I started like September of 2011,
uh-huh.
So almost 2 years. And I guess, like, I've always wanted to paint before, and I would try, and it'd look like shit, so I would just give up. And then, like, I was just going through a bunch of anxiety and shit, and, like, I tried, like, all the medications, and I was on Klonopin and other stuff, and I ended up getting arrested because I was driving one day, and I was out on the highway and had to puke because I took more than I was supposed to. And I swerved, and three people, like, called me in as a drunk driver at 9 in the morning.
Oh,
so, so I stopped taking all that shit, and I still needed something for my anxiety, so I tried painting again, and I found that when I'm doing that, you know, I don't really think about anything else, and the anxiety goes away.
Yeah.
So I just kept doing it, and they just kept getting better and better, and I mostly just do portraits, but I want to do some other stuff too, like landscapes, and I really want to get to the point where I can, like, see a picture in my head and be able to paint that, because now I pretty much have to look at something. I know a lot of people do, but I want to be the type of guy that can, like, see it in my head and put it on canvas.
Yeah, well, that's it's admirable, you know, to shoot for that. But I think it's just cool. It's just cool, just the act of doing it, you know. So you kind of found, like, do you think you're at the point now where it's like, it seems like you've been running longer, of course, right? It's since 2011, you've been writing a lot longer, and feel as like, you know, more rules of what you want to do with the writing, and painting is like a new thing, and it's, you haven't really figured out the rules yet, and it's kind of more exciting that way, because I find
that's a big part of it. It just feels like, it kind of felt like when I started to write, it was kind of new, and I could do anything I wanted. I didn't care about the rules or what people had to say or anything like that. So it's kind of at that point right now. And I mean, I don't want to take it too seriously to where I'm listening to critics and everything. I've been in some gallery shows, and I've sold a bunch of paintings and stuff. It just seems like when it turns into a job, it's not fun anymore.
You know, I mean, with writing, it's so hard to get paid, but at the same time, I think it's easy for people to start taking that shit a little too seriously and kind of forget that it's fun. Forget that.
I catch myself doing that. Like, I think in those questions you sent me, I talked about how when I write, it's not, I still have anxiety. I'm thinking so hard. Like with painting, I don't have to think that much.
Yeah,
but with writing, you know, it's still, it just feels like there's more pressure on me. And I mean, I love writing. I couldn't stop if I wanted to. And that's my first love. But painting is just, like you said, it's just kind of something new and it's still fresh to me. And hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, well, I think that's like something everybody should do. You know, if you know, people kind of get caught up when they say they're creative. They get caught up in what they do to be creative. You know, like I know a lot of people who, specifically writers. You know, like they say, you know, I'm a poet or whatever. So you say you're a poet, but you can't write any poems right now. So, why don't you go play in a band for a little while or something? Just do something different. You know, keep it going.
Yeah, I think to say you're a poet or a writer, I think you need to be doing that. I mean, if you did it years ago, you used to be that, I think. But I think you have to keep doing it to consider yourself that.
Yeah, true that. So what's up, man? I heard you're painting a barn. You're painting a barn in this field.
I'm in Wyoming painting a barn because.
Uh-huh.
When I said I got arrested and everything, I'm still dealing with all that stuff. They couldn't get DUI because
you weren't
luckily
drunk.
the blood test came back negative somehow.
Oh. That's
good. They got me for careless driving and I had a bunch of fines and community service and all this shit and I didn't pay all the fines and I was driving couple months ago and I got pulled over and found out that they took my license away until I pay those fines. So
yeah, you didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I was like, when I got pulled over, I was like, I got scared at first because I always do. But then I was like, wait, I haven't done anything this time. And then he pulled me over for running a stop sign. So I was like, oh, that's no big deal. And then I, when I was waiting for him in the car, I saw another cop pull up, and I was like, oh, shit, this isn't good. And it was taking forever. And when he came to the window, I knew something was up, and he said I didn't have a license. So now I'm dealing with that.
I similar things have happened to people I know. You know, I've kind of had something like that happen to me once. I got pulled over. In like the middle of the night, I just started going out with my wife years ago. We started going out, and we're driving down this road. You know, here's the lights behind me. I pull over to the side of the road. The cop comes, and like you said, man, all these backup cars start showing up. Before you know it, you know, you're on the side of the road and basically getting handcuffed. And my license had been revoked for no reason, man. For like you said, unpaid fines. But I didn't even get those fines were never even issued.
Really?
It was a clerical error, and it got cleared up in court and everything. But so that was how I met my who's my father-in-law now. First night I met him, he basically bailed me out of jail and nice to meet you. You know, be a nice long. I was just dating his daughter at the time, but. Yeah, we got along well, I guess. He believed me.
Really must have liked you.
I didn't do anything, I swear.
Man, that happened to one of my friends, too. He got pulled over and found out he didn't have a license the same way. And, like, it was an error just like yours. Like, he didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah.
He's put through the ringer and had to do all that shit for nothing.
Yeah. You ever see that show? I'm sure you've seen it or heard about it, Jersey Shore. Well, I'm from like that town pretty much where the show takes place, Seaside Heights. I'm like a town or two over, so that's where we would always go drinking. And it's not really too much like the show. The show is kind of like the show's kind of like, it focuses in on the tourists that kind of come there. So the locals, it's different, you know, but.
Right.
But that's where I got this ticket. And when I wound up getting bailed out and I went to the municipal office and talked to.
Hello?
Hey, am I cutting out on you?
Yeah, you cut out for a second. I think your back's up.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. It was just me rambling on.
Well, I heard I heard up until the point to the point you went to the municipal building.
Yeah, yeah. It just turned out to be a chick I went to school with who had fucked up. So that was like the icing on the cake, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all just a pain in the ass, though, man. You know, like most of my trouble's been from driving, and it's one thing just leads to another. Like, so I just ride my bike now. Like where I live, everybody rides their bike, and you can pretty much get around just as fast on your bike as you can on your car, and it's a lot cheaper.
What's Fort Collins like? What's generally what's the town like?
Oh, it's awesome, man. There's about 160,000 people there, but it's kind of like hooked to Denver and Boulder. Like the whole Front Range, there's like 2 million people, I think.
Yeah.
But like there's great bands in Fort Collins. Like half of the two members of the Lumineers live in Fort Collins. Bill Stevenson, that was in Black Flag and the Descendants, he opened up a studio in Fort Collins, so all those guys live there, and they record all these punk bands there, so there's always bands coming through and hanging out, and it has like a small town feel to it, kind of, but it's bigger.
Cool.
There's a lot of good writers there, too. It's like lately, poetry readings there, we've been getting like between 50 and 100 people just coming out to watch, so it's been awesome. And then of course, weed's legal now. I'm not a big weed smoker, but it's legal. And Fort Collins is also known for its microbreweries, like New Belgium and Odell's and Fort Collins Brewery.
Yeah,
there's just a ton of breweries. Like the whole town's pretty much based on it. And we have a college there too, Colorado State's there too. So it's a good community of people, like really creative people.
Sounds great. I'm thinking about coming to visit in that area, you know, next year.
Yeah, you should, man. There's a lot to do.
Yeah. I don't want to get out there. I've been talking a lot to, I don't know if you know, if you're friends with William Stewart Bonney. He's there in Denver. And,
yeah, I met him once.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He's told me about the, like what you said, it just sounds like a really cool place. Because I'm from Jersey. I'm from New York City. A lot of time in Philly and shit. And you guys just both seem kind of laid back out there. That's kind of nice. I mean,
you guys seem laid back. One of my roommates is from New Jersey, and he can't believe how laid back it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in California, and they're too laid back for me. And really pisses me off. Waiters and like, no worries. You know, I want to strangle.
Yeah, well, that's one
thing
that kind of pisses me.
No problem. Yeah, fuck you, waiter. Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that does kind of bug me about Fort Collins is because, I mean, there aren't nobody, you know, there. It's like this little utopian vortex, like, and no one really, I mean, they care about stuff, but it just seems like nobody has real problems there. I mean, you can go to the bar at fucking noon and it'll be full, and it just seems like no one's working and everyone's just out, like, riding their bikes or mountain climbing or whatever the hell they do.
That's great, man. Yeah. I like my New York City crackheads. Just driving around the other day and seeing the people with actual problems, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. I'm looking forward to coming out there and checking it out. So I drove through Colorado, and I think my fucking father was born there, but yeah, spent some time there. So
where was he born at?
Yeah, back to the topic of your writing. Wanted to talk about, you got a really cool sounding project coming up. I've been hearing about it here and there, and this looks like something pretty awesome. It's like a four-way split poetry collection. Will you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's like 200 pages, and there's four of us in the book. We each get 50 pages. It's me, John Dorsey, Seth Elkins, and Jake Berg. And it's coming out of Kansas City, Spartan Press. I think it's out of Prospero's bookstore. It's a really cool used bookstore there. But, yeah, I'm excited about it. It should be out in the next month or two, I believe. So we're taking pre-orders for it and everything right now. I post the info sometimes. I got to get on that and do it more. But, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Send me the link to that. And sometimes people listen to the show. They like the show on Facebook. And I'll post crap on the Facebook page for the show for guests to share their books and stuff. And maybe I'm sure there's a bunch of people who want to get in on that pre-order. Sounds awesome.
It's really good. I'm glad to be with these guys. I mean, I know all these guys. I've met them all a few times, so I'm excited about it. And Dorsey used to live with me, so I know him really good.
Where'd you guys live?
In Fort Collins. He lived with me for a summer. He came out and stayed with me. He was in Fort Collins like a month ago too. He was there for like a week, and he did a couple readings, but I did a reading in Boulder with him and Lawrence Gladeview. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah,
he read with me once, Lawrence read with me once in Fort Collins too, and we read it at Prairie. It's pretty fun. So I'm gonna probably ask him to read with me again sometime.
That's great. Yeah. But the breweries around here are kind of few and far between. I'm actually got a union. I got a union job. I'm a construction guy, and I do boiler making work. And we actually do. We work inside the Budweiser brewery. We go and like prepare the vats and all the shit.
Oh, really?
All the tanks and vessels and stuff. So that's pretty cool. You know, you go there and they give you like a truckload of beer to take home with you. But I'm not a Budweiser guy. You know.
No, me either. I'm not even really a beer guy. I like whiskey better if I do drink. But yeah, if you work at any of those breweries, they give you like a case a week to take home.
Yeah, rightfully so.
We have a Budweiser brewery in Fort Collins too.
Yeah. And I want to talk to you too. You had a really cool book of poetry that came out last year called The Name of Lost Things, and that's the one that was on Luminox Press.
Yeah, Luminox.
Where can people pick that up? Is that just on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and Ames Books and all that stuff. But you can also order it like straight from the publisher. I think it's LummoxPress.com. Just Google Luminox Press. And Rain Dog, he's the publisher there. So he deals with all that. But yeah, it's easy to order. And my first book's easy to order too, the one on Epic Rights. You can order that from you could order that from Wolfgang. Just go to the Epic Rights website. You can get that on Amazon and all those other places too.
And also I thought it's just seems interesting as fuck to me. You're working on a book of prose, like you said. The tentative title is "Store Like a Loser." What's the deal with that?
Wrong.
ASOAR, soar like fly like a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's like speaking of that. I always like find it funny when that Steve Miller song comes on the radio, "Fly Like an Eagle." It's like kind of like the same thing. Soar like a loser, fly like an eagle. Because he's like, if you listen to Steve Miller's fucking song, he's like, you know, he's getting real deep. He's talking about, like, all the problems in the world. He's, like, seeing the kids on the street with no shoes on their feet, you know. There's a solution, you know. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to fucking fly like an eagle. It's like, so what are you going to do? Do you just, you're going to ditch all the problems of the world? Is that what you mean? I don't understand. How deep classic rock radio is. So your book, I'm sure, right? It's not as campy as deep as this, that Steve Miller song.
Not even close.
Yeah, right. What's the general, like, the general topic? And I mean, you know, spoiler. I know what it's about because I'm reading. For everybody else who doesn't know, what's the general feel and topic of Score Like a Loser? What's going on with that book?
It's just basically like a bunch of stories of growing up in a small little weird town where a bunch of weird stuff happens. And I don't know, no one's really written a book about where I've come from. Like, I spent so many years growing up in Cheyenne and got into drugs and did so much bad shit. And it's like a nowhere place where all this weird, crazy shit happens. So it's just kind of a bunch of stories. It's not all about Cheyenne, but it's just a bunch of, like, stories based on my life. And I'll probably call it fiction. Even though most of it's true, I'll probably call it fiction just so, like, I don't get in trouble down the road.
Yeah, I
if,
understand.
Like, something doesn't match.
I understand. Yeah, that's a fear of mine, too, man. You know, you know, it's autobiographical, but maybe the details are a little fuzzy, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, most of my life, like, I was messed up on drugs or alcohol or whatever, and it's hard to remember, like, every single detail. So I'm trying the best I can to remember, and I don't know, saying it's fiction just gives you more liberty to do what you want with it, I think. And I don't want it to be like a normal memoir, like, where I'm born and then I go through life, because, I mean, everyone thinks their life is interesting, but most people's aren't.
I hear you.
I just want to pull, like, certain stories out of it and see what I can do with it. I have about, like, 100 pages now. I keep going back and throwing a bunch of stuff out because I'm not happy with it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It'll happen.
That's my favorite, you know, my favorite thing to do. It's not like I, like, enjoy deleting things I've written, but, you know, when it's done and cutting stuff, oh, man, is that ever rewarding, you know? Working on, like, a long manuscript, and you're like, I just went through a thing where, you know, it went from like, 110,000 words and just cutting it down to, like, 75. And, man, that's a great feeling. I hope everybody gets a chance to fuck around with that, because it's fun. There's nothing more punk rock than saying this isn't good enough and deleting whole fucking pages. It's awesome.
Oh, I know. I think you have to do that. You can't keep, you know, the words you've written. I mean, they might be some good words and stuff, but they might not go with what you're trying to say. So you got to get rid of them. And you can save them or use them for something else maybe, but...
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Like, cut it down until, like, you've read it over 100 times and you can't find anything you want to change. That's a good feeling. It takes a long time, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, like, also, I'm psyched. I'm actually pretty psyched to see this. This Sore Like a Loser, because I really dig when people write about their own lives, especially when they write about their own lives, frankly. And without too much restraint, because it's cool, you know, it's just cool seeing people examine their own lives, especially before they get too old, you know. I don't want to read about an old fucker writing about his whole life, you know, meet me in the middle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I do, too. I think if anything's written well enough, it's worth reading.
Yeah. So,
but then also you can have the most you know, the most exciting life ever, and if you can't write well, then it sucks anyway if you're reading about it.
Yeah. All right, so I wanted to ask you a question about
okay.
I kind of bring this up every once in a while, people on this show, because it just seems like one of those things that everybody always wants to kind of talk about, and that's MFA programs, going to college to write. And I'm curious how you stand on that. Have you gone to school for writing? Do you think about pursuing that? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I've taken a couple of creative writing classes in junior college.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I mean, I have nothing against MFAs.
Yeah.
I just, like, I've done readings with a bunch of people in MFAs and stuff, and it always just feels like, I don't know if they look down on me or they don't think, since I didn't study poetry or something, that what I have to say doesn't matter. It just feels weird, like they're just looking down on me a lot of times. Not everybody.
Of course not.
But it's happened quite a few times. And I don't know. If I could afford it, I would do an MFA program. It seems like that's how a lot of people make their connections for their book deals and their teaching gigs and whatever. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think just look at it like, you know, the 8 years or 6 years or whatever they're going to school to get their degree, like me and you and a bunch of other people, you know, we're out living life, and
yeah,
I'm not saying
yeah.
they're not living life, but, you know, we're out fucking living, you know, gathering information and learning. And so, I mean, both MFA and non-MFA, we're learning just different ways. And I don't think you should have to have a degree for any type of art, you know?
No, I don't think you should have to. I think it's cool when people do, when they do pursue it, because, you know, they're different than me. That's their deal, you know, that's what they want to do. But, hey, man, I'm happy as fuck to go and work construction during the day and come home when I'm done with work and make art, because that's...
Yeah.
I don't know if I could... I could do that. I could see that, you know, if I could get a job, for instance, like you're talking about, get an MFA, and most people with MFAs, I feel like, are doing it because they want to be college professors, which is definitely applaudable, and I think that's great, but holy fuck, could you imagine me teaching a class? That'd be bad news. That'd be bad news for everybody involved. And then I'd come home and I don't think I'd want to do anything creative, you know?
I just don't think that you should need a degree to understand poetry, and I hate when there's like these little cliques that are, you know, you see them with like the big journals and everything. It's they're always like publishing the same people over and over. It's like it's a lot of them don't even give new writers a chance, you know, unless they've heard of you through your MFA program or your professors or whatever, and I just don't think it should be that way. I think if you have talent, then, I mean, you should shine like anybody else, whether you spend $100,000 on college or not.
Yeah. I guess it's hard because you said the magic word there about cliques, you know, and that's, hey, man, that's what everything, you know, I mean, society is just broken up and all that shit. But,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So describe to me where you are in Wyoming. Are you like, what's around you right now? Mountains and rivers. Are there like foxes diving out of the high wheat all around?
Like I'm in the southeastern corner of Wyoming, so it's the high plains. Like, the elevation here is higher than Denver, but there's no mountains around it. It's just, like, plains, so it's always super windy here. So right now I'm looking at a couple horses, sagebrush, a barn, trees,
That's
like
great.
Two trees.
Yeah.
A bunch of birds, like like a bunch of doves for some reason.
Yeah. When I look out my window right now, I'm in Washington Heights, New York City, and I'll tell you what's out my window. It's a sharp contrast. I can look out, and I see a bunch of cars on the street, my rusted-out fire escape, and a bunch of people talking shit on the corner and sitting on the stoop selling shit and hanging out.
Yeah, I love that, man. I wish I was looking out your window.
Yeah. It's cool here. I dig it. Except, our biggest problem is that they closed our corner store down, so we have to walk all the way up the hill to get beer now, so that's sad.
Oh, man, I love big cities. I just love seeing all the people and stuff.
Yeah. I'd love to get you to read something. I don't know if you have anything on hand. I know you're kind of working and hanging out right now. Do you have anything you'd like to read?
Yeah, I have a book. Just a sec. Let me go grab it.
Yeah, take your time. You know, don't trip the fall if you're all alone.
Here it is. Let me find one to read.
Sure.
Okay. Let me see. Sorry.
No, it's good. This is my favorite part. I'm actually, I'm fixing myself another drink. Everybody's, taking a bathroom break. It's like when Rolling Stones are playing a show and all of a sudden they play something off a new album. You know, everybody goes and takes a leak.
Yeah. All right, I found one.
All right.
I read this one a lot, so hopefully you haven't heard it before. It's called Letter to Self. Well, you can't... let me start over. The wind is blowing the pages. All right. While you count insects tap dancing across the ceiling, while your automobile smokes and dies, while you eat mustard sandwiches and potatoes 6 days a week, while you get up at 6 a.m. to work the grocery stores, to serve the overfed, roaming the aisles like cattle, shuffling from the chute to slaughter, they feed while you atrophy. While you fight, fuck, bleed, grind the gears, fight the storm, pull the sails and break the bow, curse the gods, curse your ancestors. While you wake up in jail, the emergency room, the dew-covered grass, while you face another sun in your translucent body and face the darkness where your heartbeat keeps you away with its bell-like demeanor and your past is a million parasites coming to devour you from the inside out. While your boss, an average man with an average life, screams at you for a box of Nutty Bars going stale. You don't hit him. You take it at $10 an hour, only because rent is due and it's winter outside. Remember, the only thing that has killed you so far is you. Not the drugs, the car crashes, the flood of 85. Not the women and the men married to them. Remember, death has the patience of a child. Run from the arms of it. Just keep running. Don't stop. Don't look back. Don't explain yourself. Remember how to lift your wings when wolves come calling. Remember your eyes as a child when you could still make your parents proud someday. Remember to keep a levity about yourself. Remember that everything that has ever happened to you will lead you to the place you saw yourself when you dreamed. So climb back inside your head, put your words to paper, and know that it's all you've got. And that's it.
That's really something. What's that one called?
Letter to Self.
Letter to Self. And
yeah.
What book is that out of?
That's in The Names of Lost Things.
The Names of Lost Things. Do you have, would you read some more from that book?
Yeah, from this book.
Or anything you'd like, but... I wasn't sure what you have out in this field. You know, you could have anything. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll read another one. Um, All right, this one's called Dear Mr. Carver. Dear Mr. Carver, I'm not blind, still I don't know much about cathedrals. I do know the spires twist like knives into the soul of man. People in fancy clothes kneel inside, begging for eternal life, while people out on the streets get on their knees to make it through one more day. That was a short one. You want me to read another one?
Oh, please, keep going. This is great.
All right, this is called Good Karma. Reading Simic in low light in the back booth of a truck stop bar. Outside, trees like preachers raise their palms icy and wooden above the street. Sorry for our sins. Sorry for our happiness. Place is beautiful and worn out. Yesterday believed in sun. Today my lungs are frozen. A man with a guitar and a dog, eyes like war photographers seek, comes in off the highway, asks for a cigarette, trying to get to Denver, he says. I'll give him one, only if he'll play me a song. He strums Walk the Line. I believe every word, hand him three cigarettes, and buy him a pint of Ten High. He hugs me. God bless, and fades back into the cold. I see him on the exit ramp flying a sign, the bottle to his lips, the dog sitting at his feet. I drive home.
You're really digging this stuff, dude. It's awesome.
Thank you. Here's another one. This is called Bamboo Plant. I gave her lingerie and expensive perfume Valentine's Day a few years ago. She gave me a $5 bamboo plant for Rite Aid. I put it in the window until she left me for someone new. Now it sits on my bookcase away from the sun. It hasn't grown any. It hasn't turned yellow either. I don't know where she is anymore, but I still water it every month or so because it refuses to die.
Well, that's like a lot of things, isn't it? Just keeps trucking along, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My friend has this awesome property in Pennsylvania, you know, and the neighbor, not the neighbors, but the people who owned it before him in the 70s it was built, and they were like total like key party swingers, you know.
Uh-huh.
So like it was like they had like multiple jacuzzis in the house, and the living room was like just a big, like a jacuzzi in the middle of the living room with, like, you know, and the backyard, it's just all bamboo. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming. It's like taking over like 3/4 of the backyard, and there's like no way to stop it. You got like dig a trench and like you're it's like World War One. It's like trench warfare, you know.
Really?
Yeah, for real.
Damn.
I used to have a construction job doing building ponds in people's backyard.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when people would like, they would plant bamboo around their pond because it looks so cool, but like the roots are sharp as fuck, and they cut through the liner, and then it just destroys the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, bamboo is a very evasive thing.
Yeah, they seem pretty hardy. I like, mine lasted forever. I wanted it to die, and it wouldn't.
Yeah, well, you should see, if you ever look at, there's like YouTube videos of construction in China when they build their scaffolds out of bamboo. And they
build
250 feet, 300 feet up in the air, scaffolds just keep climbing up. And just as strong as the steel, you know?
Yeah, there's a company in Fort Collins that makes bicycles out of bamboo. Like,
yeah,
the frames are made out of bamboo, and I guess they're really strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're light as hell, too.
What kind of bike do you have? Just something
I have an
together?
Old Schwinn from... No, mine's like a single-speed Schwinn from the late 50s, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've put so
like,
many miles on it. What's that?
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, I was going to say the same. just getting around
your
town.
Now.
You know.
I've ridden that bike everywhere. Like last summer, I rode it up the canyon by Fort Collins, like 60 miles up the canyon, and then stayed the night and rode it 60 miles back. So like over 100 miles in like 24 hours on a single speed.
That's great.
And I was smoking the whole time too.
It's like a cigarette hanging out of your mouth the whole time.
It was like we started at like 5,000 feet elevation and ended up at like over 9,000. Just uphill the whole time, man. It's hard.
Shit.
It's tough.
So what do you got coming up? We kind of like breezed around talking about some readings you wanted to do. Is there anything books coming up that you'd like to talk or anything?
Yeah, I'm doing I've been trying to make it to the Oakland thing. Like, I'm supposed to be reading there at the Beast Crawl and stuff. And I still want to make it to that, but it's looking pretty rough right now with, like, court and the fines and everything.
Yeah.
I went last year, and it was a blast. I'd hate to miss it. So
I know. I wanted to go, too.
Yeah, it sucks, like, missing stuff like that. So it's not looking good, but on Friday I have a reading in Fort Collins, if anyone's listening from there. It's at Harper's Point Photography Studio. It's like for Friday when everyone comes out and goes to all the galleries and stuff. And so I'm reading there, and then I think the 12th, I'm reading at a bookstore in Fort Collins called Old Firehouse Books. And that's all I can think of right now for reading.
Well, that's pretty good. Quite a few things coming up.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of reading this summer so far. It's good.
What's your plans with the with like the painting stuff? Are you doing any more showings of that anytime soon either, or is that kind of on the back burner?
With the what?
Your paintings.
It's not really on the back burner. I just haven't been, like, I've shown my paintings like at the main places in Fort Collins now. So I mean already. So
yeah.
I'm still painting. I don't have any shows or anything lined up at the moment. But I'm sure something will pop up.
No, it always does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it always does.
That's pretty
does.
Cool if you guys have, like, a First Friday thing. I love when towns have that kind of thing where the whole downtown.
Yeah, it's really
kind of party.
Yeah, it's really cool. People just come out with the First Friday of every month and walk to all the galleries and poetry slams and music and all kinds of stuff and bars. I think they do it in Denver too.
Yeah, I've been to a few of them that were great, and I'll tell you a quick story if you got time about one I went to that was really horrible. The good ones I've gone to, you know, whatever, Asbury Park, New Jersey, does a cool one. Brattleboro in Vermont had a really cool one. But one time, my wife's friends were moving from Providence to, San Jose. And they came to visit us in the city, and they were like, we really wish you could come with us. It'd be fun, and, you know, for the ride, you know, to go cross country with them. And we were like, fuck yeah, we'll go with you, right? And they were like, oh, that'd be so fun. And we were like, no, for real, we'll go. And they were like, oh, fuck. So now here we are all packed into their Civic, and they needed to get there in like 4 days. So we're making to make all kinds of detours and stops. We went to Graceland and all kinds of totally out of the way. And one night we wound up in Little Rock because I'd heard that there was a that kind of thing. There's like the big gallery night, and like the whole downtown turns into a party and all this shit.
Uh-huh.
So we get down there, and the whole downtown is like a ghost town. There's like nobody around. We like park in a lot, And the parking lot attendant is like, she's like telling us, she's like, yeah, usually it's really crazy around here. He's like, but it's kind of like dead. And we're like, all right. So we're like walking around. It's like zombie apocalypse, like nothing going on, just like quiet dead streets. I'm like, what the, where is everybody? You walk up to the galleries, they're all closed. And there's like this one bar that's pretty, you know, lit up. So we go in there, it's empty. And we sit down, and the waitress comes over, and she goes, y'all going to the Kenny Chesney concert? And we're like, what? The what? She's like, Kenny Chesney, he's in town. He's at the, like, the local where Kenny Chesney would go and play. And we're like, who's Kenny Chesney? She explained it to us. And all right, so he's like a pop country guy or whatever. And so we're sitting there drinking and just hanging out. And we're, you know, now we're having our own fun. It's just the four of us in this empty bar. And I guess at 11 o'clock, the show let out. And the whole place just filled up with fucking Kenny Chesney fans. Oh my God. It was, what a difference. And that was my experience with the Little Rock, Arkansas's, art night, Friday art night. It was great.
God, I know how that is. Like in Cheyenne, they have a thing called Frontier Days where it's like a week long. It's like the biggest rodeo in the world, biggest outdoor rodeo in the world. So the whole week they have like nine shows with a bunch of country acts, and it's just a bunch of hicks everywhere, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I'm not knocking people that are different than me, because I'm down with hicks. They're cool, you know. They got their they got their mud truck thing going on, and I'll come and, you know, watch and stuff. But is when they catch you off guard, it's like, oh fuck, here I am again.
Oh, I know, man. And they like fighting too.
Yeah, that's the bad part, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're always looking at their girl somehow.
Oh yeah, always, man.
Yeah.
Their nasty girl.
Yeah, the nasty girl. The little gorilla. The little gorilla in the cowboy hat.
I know. Tight ass Wranglers.
grandma's Wranglers passed down.
Pretty much.
Yeah. How much paint you got left on this barn?
A lot. Like the whole
Holy
thing.
Shit. Oh fuck.
Yeah, I pretty much just scraped the old painting off of it. The old paint off of it. So I'll try to get up early tomorrow and try to bust it out.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, it'll be good.
I want to ask you. I know you've already read a bunch, but I was really digging it. Could I please pry some more poems out of you? Would you mind?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that in a second.
Could you read us a few more?
Yeah. All right, here's one. I think this one was in Word Riot.
Okay.
It's called The Early Years, 1973 to 2005. Today is no different from any other day. I was born in Wyoming. Demons came through the windows at night. I wore a cowboy shirt and shiny cap guns. My bangs combed to the side. I hid behind toilets. I was scared of the bell at school, so a black kid named Wilbur walked me out. His mom called me the white devil, and I probably was. There was a tornado, and all I saved was my plastic horses. My parents divorced, and I became a little girl holding my dad's leg until he pushed me away. I weighed 76 pounds in junior high, but still believed I could be a basketball star. I became angry. I cut a hole in a pillow and fucked it. It felt like the right thing to do. I never kissed a girl. I was scared of vatos. I picked up a skateboard. They accepted me. A lot of them are gone now. The rest are married. I fell in love with punk rock. I learned to fight. I felt love. I wrote poetry in math class. I started drinking, and then came the drugs. I moved to Omaha in winter and came back in winter, arrested for concealed weapon and a violent and tumultuous act. I watched sunsets over the Tetons. Fell in love with the Southern Belle. She left as the Aspens burned. The sky was bigger then. Ended up in Tucson with a duffel bag and a three-day hallucination. Saw the dead before they died. Found painkillers and 40 ounces. Lived in a bus. Stopped writing poetry. Found more painkillers and killer cocaine. Found a woman. My dad found a needle in my arm. Bought a house. Couldn't get in Canada. Found heroin on the streets of Portland. Bought needles where Drugstore Cowboy was filmed. I was cool. I was gorgeous. Dope sick initiation in the back of a Volkswagen. Fisherman's Wharf, Donner Pass. Reno was a blur. Started a band. Scored on Larimer Street every day under the clock tower, Denver, Colorado. Worked in a wood factory. Shot up in the bathroom. Employee of the month. Steve died. Nathan died. Mark died. Handcuffed. Broke my leg. The lights went out. Shit in the bucket. Cooked dope by candlelight. Lost my house. My brother went to rehab. Lost my cat. Lost my soul. Robbed motorcycle gangs. One morning, I prayed.
Well, that's fucking something else, man. What's that poem called?
That was called The Early Years, 1973 to 2005.
That one I'm printing out and hanging above my desk because that is fucking awesome, dude. That's an awesome poem, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
yeah.
Man. I have a part two to that, 2005 to 2009, if you want to hear it.
Fuck yeah, I want to hear that.
All right, it's called My Atomic Age, 2005 to 2009. I watched a man on the edge of a tall building. I shivered from lack of dope. The cops shielded their eyes from the sun while they talked him down. I called the doctor and told him I was sick. I was done. I dragged my bones to rehab in a red wagon. The old Indian counselor told me to take a shower. My poor sweating modern chemicals. A guy with half a face talked from a hole in his blank stare, said the shotgun didn't work. I'm Jason. I'm an alcoholic addict. I had a crush on a pregnant 18-year-old. My emotions drove around in hand-me-down cars. I began to feel again. My confidence came back. A homing pigeon in a tornado. I went to college. I lifted weights. You should have seen how good I looked to myself. Weight gathered upon my bones. The women noticed me. I was a man. I got my own place. I still didn't know how to pay bills. My inner child was a teenager sneaking cigarettes, late night blowing smoke back from tall windows. My poems came back at first, like dreams barely recognized, then like bullets through sleepy mountain villages. People took notice, and I began to be published. I felt powerful on stage, reading about all the bad times, laughing like it wasn't me. Spoke to classes. I pretended I was somebody. I met a woman with three kids and crooked front teeth. I teetered on the edge of the American norm. I wrote my life story on the back of a matchbook. I punched a rearview mirror, abandonment issues, trust issues surfaced, trilobites in a dry riverbed. Two wrongs don't make a healthy relationship. I rode my bike at 4 a.m., Kansas City and the fireflies with asses like shooting stars, Hartford, witnessed the hotel being robbed. She dumped me. I wasn't a father figure. I didn't want a lifestyle home. The audacity of hope. Change, change. The night of the election, she went back to meth and never looked back. I got drunk. The wolf asked if I was her pimp. I choked him against the wall. A 9mm inches from my nose, I said, pull the trigger, motherfucker. He didn't. I kicked the door. Lonely days in jail, second-degree burglary, class 3 felony. The judge to me, you're a danger to society. All set at 50 grand, looking at 4 to 12 years in the pen. Couldn't make my reading at the Bowery, Philly, Cleveland. Looking at the mouth of prison. Boy, you have a pretty mouth. I watched prison shows to condition myself. I thought of prison names. Tiny was already taken. This time I prayed to fucking die. Please just let me die. God, I can't take a cock in my ass. I can't take the lack of freedom. I can't take the sound of nothing. I was robbed on New Year's Eve, lost all my writing, but somehow I kept clean, hired a lawyer, got probation, anger management, kept writing, wrote a book of poems made from bullet fragments and glass figurines, the broken and the damned. Stranded on the fire watch, I can see the ships in the harbor. I'm landlocked, the foothills are small nods in an epic dream. I am small, I am gorgeous. I saved a bird that lost its feet. I bought a hat, grew a beard. It's so beautiful here. And that's that.
Well, holy fuck, that's that.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ. Talk about ending on a high note, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm really glad I asked you to read some more poems, because those last two were by far two of my favorite ones I've ever had the privilege of anybody reading on the show. I'm so thankful you were able to carve some time out of your busy schedule there. And
I'm not that busy.
Well, you're supposed to pretend you are. It just sounds better, you know?
That's right.
What I do. You know? I just tell everybody I'm busy as fuck.
I'm wearing a Bluetooth right now.
you're like, I'm like working this bar and then I'm day trading at the same time, you know, whatever you need, buy high, sell low, or whatever. I'm not sure how that works. So, thanks, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the show and reading and talking, and it was a lot of fun. And I hope everybody is looking for some great stuff to read. I hope they check out your two collections of poetry that are floating around right now. The one from, what is that, Lumnox? How do you say that again? Lumnox?
Oh, Lummox.
Lummox, yeah.
Yeah, Lummox.
And that collection is called what again?
The Names of Lost Things.
Things from Lummox. And The Broken and the Damned from Epic Rights Press. Pick them up, whoever's listening. Mom, if you're listening, check out Jason's poetry. Thank you very much. And Jason, man, I hope you have a great summer, man. Enjoy the rest of your time.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again soon.
For sure.
All right, take care, man.
All right, bye.
All right, next on the show... I did this correctly. We have Stephanie Bryan Anderson, and she's calling in from somewhere in America. I don't know where. Stephanie, you're there?
I'm here.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. That's great. I was kind of talking about Tennessee before, saying when I was driving randomly through cross country. Drama Cross Country, and I wound up at the Loretta Lynn Museum. Have you ever been there?
Uh-huh. When I was very young, I haven't.
That place is fucking awesome, dude. It's got like a little cafe in it, and everything in there has like Loretta Lynn stuff on it. There's like Loretta Lynn bottled water. There's like Loretta Lynn anything you want. Ashtrays, it's great. Snow globes. The coal miner's daughter.
Yeah, Mom took us there when we were young on an outing, but I don't remember anything about it.
Well, I thought it was cool. I was there just a few years ago. So for everybody who's listening, right now we're talking to Stephanie Bryan Anderson, and Stephanie is an editor at Up the Staircase, one half of the great duo. And who's your co-editor at Up the Staircase?
April Bratton.
Of course, April Bratton. And I really think what you guys have going on over there, it's such a cool site. And you and April, both your writing is always great. And I urge you guys, send some stuff over to Clefjaw if you haven't already, because that's a cool little spot. Open for submissions. So what's going on right now tonight? What are you doing?
Well, April and I are about to get ready for the next issue. We're going to try to get that together this weekend to get that published and up finally. So that's kind of what's been going on with At the Staircase. We've got a few more reviews to get together, some more books to put on our bookshelf, and actually Jason Harden's books are posted on our bookshelf, so if anybody's curious about those, they can always go onto our site and check it out there also. It tells where to get those as well.
That's great. Just up the staircase what is that, .org, .com?
.org.
Holy fuck, first guess. Oh, shit. So, so that's great. So the new Up the Staircase is coming out soon. It's just like an all around, for anybody who doesn't know, it's just like an all around great lit website, awesome poetry, prose writing, and okay. Quarterlies with that?
Sorry, it's cutting out. I had a hard time hearing you. We've been doing Up the Staircase now for just over 5 years. We did an anniversary issue last issue. And so we're really excited to get the new one up. It's got some amazing writing in it. April and I, we kind of embrace the misfits, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where we like to go. We like writing that's different, writing that speaks to us, writing that has a heart. And that's, you know, where we're going with it.
That's cool. Also, you have a couple other really cool projects going on. I saw somewhere you're running an online journal for kids to submit to, the Imagination Street Quarterly.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
That came from, I have my 8-year-old niece Sophie and my 7-year-old son Jude are both very creative people. And
yeah.
I think one thing that I missed out on as a kid, there was no, I guess, programs or other kids or, like, community that you could find to kind of encourage that in kids. And so I thought, okay, maybe this could be something for those kids that don't have that out there to submit to. And I don't reject any submissions that come in from those kids. And they're anywhere from 5 years old to 11 years old. We've had everything from, you know, just drawings that they've done to stories that they've written. Sophie actually did a radio show with her dad, who's a musician, and he provided, like, the background, like, sound effects and music and that kind of stuff. And she wrote the story, and then they recorded it together, and that's on there. And it's really cool. And then she's got some, you know, little poems and pictures. And I think the first issue had about 8 kids in it, maybe. And so I'm definitely taking submissions for the next issue. I've gotten some right now that I need to get back to. But it's just one of those things to, you know, kind of encourage kids to get in there and read. And that's the other thing that's on there as well. Like, these kids are telling what their favorite book is. So if anybody's looking for suggestions of, you know, my kid's 8, my kid's 10, I don't know what's good for them to read, that's something that's on there as well as encouraging parents, telling them the benefits and things of kids reading with them at night and that kind of stuff. So it's really there just to encourage them to keep writing, to keep doing that, even if there's nobody else around you that's a part of that. This can be that community for them.
That's the coolest thing. I mean, when growing up, I think we're probably around the same age. And when I was growing up, it was obviously before, you know, internet made it so easy for everybody to basically feel like they had an audience, you know? But I just think that's so cool to actively say to little kids, you know, you can have your work shown and that's just such a cool thing. I would never have imagined a thing like that when I was 9 or 10 years old, you know,
right.
It's great.
Right, yeah. And there are, you know, Jude's elementary school, his teacher has contacted me saying, you know, this could help this student that I have, but he doesn't have even a good relationship with parents. And they see that disconnect between the kid and the parents, and this is also a way for the kid to connect in other areas, you know, even if their parents aren't supporting them. So this is also a way to kind of hopefully draw kids out of that shell, you know?
And that's really cool. I think that we could go on and blather on about that for the rest of our lives on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, yeah, little kids. I don't have kids of my own, and I just think helping the random kids of the world, that's the way to do it. But also,
well, I'm hoping to like make this a bigger thing. Even like, I want to hold like a literary ball for kids, just to have a child's writer come in and read, and each kid come dressed up as their favorite literary character from whatever book, and then bring a book with them to, you know, give to kids who don't buy books or parents don't buy books for them. So I want to definitely branch out and make this a much bigger thing than what it is already.
That's cool. Like something you like at your like public library or something, that kind of thing. You mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I have a friend in New York who, I guess she does, her name's Heather Dorn. She's like a fantastic poet. It's a really cool chick. And she does kind of like, she does things for kids, poetry workshops and stuff. And
really?
Yeah, I'm just in Binghamton. Binghamton, it's like upstate New York. It's probably like, I don't know, 3.5 hours north of New York City. And I just always think that's like the coolest thing, you know, getting together with other people's little kids, just, you know, basically getting them involved. Because, I mean, sometimes, especially if you're a creative kid, just, I know when I grew up, I was always, you know, drawing or reading, but I was really isolated. I grew up in a campground. We rented a house in a campground. It was, you know, it was a regular house, but the fucking place was always empty once the summer was over. So it was whatever I could find in a book to keep me occupied, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was always that kind of introverted kid. You know, I have a twin sister, and she's definitely that dominant twin that's out front, and I was always, I guess, very guarded, not only by her, but also myself. I was always in books, and it started, you know, my writing came from writing in a journal to start off with as a kid, and then that somehow, you know, led into poetry, and it's just become that who I identify myself with, rather than identifying myself as, you know, Charlsie's twin sister. Now, I feel like this makes me.
Yeah. I hear you there. I think it's, you know, you always hear the, you know, the stories, like the, you know, the parents dressing the twins similarly. Did your parents dress you guys up identical? Or would you have your own separate? You did, yeah.
Yeah, we were definitely dressed alike. We have twins in every single generation of my family, and they're all identical twins. So it's from, you know, a line of just, we weren't even, like, addressed individually a lot of the times we were just called the twins. So it took a lot for me to kind of create my own identity, because we were both my sister's identity for a very long time.
And what's your sister's identity? It's, like, not to knock your sister, you know, if I don't want it to get to go that route. Your sister is different than you in what ways? What I gather you're obviously a creative person. You're a person who is writing. Aside from that, what's the differences between you and your sister?
She's very outspoken. You know, she teaches Spanish at a local high school, and she's just not afraid, you know? She's just able to connect to people, I think, better than I am. I do well on paper. She does well face-to-face. So, I mean, that's kind of really our biggest difference, is she's always quick to respond, and it takes me a little bit longer. I don't know. I think she's just more socially out there than I am. I tend to be a little socially awkward. But I feel like that's because when we were younger, she did all the talking for both of us, you know? I accepted that, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that's good. It's just it's just how you're different than your sister. Big deal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I have to ask, because I think it's just, you know, so cool, all these I remember growing up watching G.I. Joe, and there's the identical twins in that, and they're, you know, the one would get hit in the head with a hammer, and the other one would, like, feel pain on the other side of the world. Please, God, tell me that's happened to you. Has your sister ever been? Really? Well, like, can you give me some scenarios?
Really, the only thing that I can think of right now, like, if she's got, she has migraines a lot. If she has a migraine, I will sometimes get a headache. I mean, there are times when we'll pick up the phone to call each other at the same time. you know, situations like that. But I tend to think that that happens to people who are close anyways, not just not just twins. So, I mean, we have experienced some things like that.
Well, that's pretty cool. I'm sure, having a twin, you probably spend most of your life, like you've already kind of touched on, you know, it's like having your own thing going on, having your own distinct personality, because like when you're little, you get associated. I know even like having a little brother close in age, you know, it's just like when, you know, in high school, you know, we'd be like with one group of people, I'm his brother, I'm his older brother, or he's my little brother, you know. You don't have your own identity, and that's kind of like the trade-off of having a brother or a sister. But so these days, what are you doing for generalized like projects and work with your deal? What do you have going on? I saw that you're doing some editing for Inception. Is that what it's freelance editing for Inception? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Inception is kind of it's a company that we're trying to kind of get going here. We're about to publish an anthology, and it's a Pandora's box kind of theme for it, an idea. It's going to have, it's not, it's hard to explain. It's multimedia. I mean, they're going to do a print edition, but then there's also going to be an online thing, and it's going to have, music associated with it, all kinds of things. So it's pretty interactive, actually. There's another two more anthologies that they're accepting submissions for, and I really think that you should do the one for the Creepy Collection. You totally should.
Creepy.
There's another one. There's another anthology out, or that they're taking submissions for, that's called The New Frontier, and it's just kind of about a journey, whether it's an internal, external, you know, anything like that. And it's stories, poems, even like musicians are welcome to submit things, a bunch of different stuff. I mean, it's kind of a cool concept that she's come up with. So apparently they're going to put it in print, Kindle, Smashwords, Nook. And then there will be an app that will include artwork, music, video games, all kinds of stuff.
That is cool. The interactive ebook. I have a connection. A dear friend of mine, Mark Brunetti. He does. He has his own little house going, the Scataway House, and they do interactive ebooks. He's about to put his first one out. And it is so cool. He was showing it to me the other day, and it's just like, it's this guy's collection of poetry. His name is Josh Ballard. And all of a sudden, there'll just be a little icon to click on, and it's like it pops up, and the guy reads a poem. It's like, and click on another one. It's the editors who spent all the time laying out the book and going over things. It's them doing an audio analysis of the poem, talking about it for 20 minutes and shooting the shit and having different ideas, critical analysis about like what the thing is even about. And that is cool. That is really cool to just think about.
Yeah, that's
like
a great concept.
Of how you can go from just having a book where your thing, you know, you're reading someone's book and you're a part of it, but then it can be a communal thing just with a click of a button, and that's a really cool thing with digital stuff that just really impresses me.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping to run away with
your poetry
status. Yeah, I'm not sure quite how that's going to work. I don't know.
It's going to be a mirror of Pac-Man, and we'll just have the poet's head or something instead of Pac-Man.
Maybe.
That's cool. I would dig that.
Yeah.
So, actually, for a little while, we've had a caller hanging out on the line, and I want to pull them on because I think it might be somebody calling in to talk to you, to ask you a couple questions. So I'm gonna pull this caller on, and we'll see who it is. So, caller, you're live. Who are we talking to?
Well, you know, usually I'm up on a pole, but today I was holding onto an antenna on the top of my roof, and I was able to hold it really tight. And so at this point, as long as I keep it sort of east, you know, east, sort of northeast, I can hear you. And I just wanted to say, I love Stephanie Bryant Anderson. This is Maggie Pine.
I knew it was you, Maggie.
Make to it, everybody. Make to it.
You know, I like to mess with Bud. Bud and I have a good time we're on. And I just have been really enjoying hearing about everything that you're doing. And I'm really excited. And I just want to hear about what's happening with your poetry and if you have a poetry collection coming out, because I need a Stephanie Bryan Anderson poetry collection.
Well,
in my collection.
I've submitted one. I'm waiting to hear back to see how that's going to go. So it's in the works, hopefully. Hopefully I'll hear something back here pretty soon. Right now I think it's just a small collection, but I'm ready to get it out there.
And then the other thing over there. Hey, Bud. Hi, Bud.
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm doing all right.
So I was really intrigued that you're an identical twin. I didn't know that. And, you know, there are people that are writing these, like, tons and tons of stuff about twins, and they're not twins, and they're just obsessed with them. And I thought, oh, my God, I was wondering if you would, are you ever thinking of, you know, doing a collection about twins, like what it is to be a twin and what it's like, and did you guys have your own language when you were kids? Like, did you have that language thing that went on, or?
Oh, well, apparently when we were younger, we had our own language according to our parents, but of course I have no recollection. But, you know, the hardest thing for me to write about is those people closest to me. I think I might have two or three poems about my sister, and it's funny because the only reading I've ever done in public was one poem about my sister, and of course I started tearing up during the reading. But I want to be able to explore those things, but it's to me like I have to stop and remind myself a lot of times that this like it's not normal to other people to be a twin because I was born a twin. It's just something that's normal to me, and I don't really put much thought into it. I adore my sister. I'm very glad to have her. Like I don't know what it's like to be alone a lot of the times because I've always had her. So I do need to, I think, take time and reflect on that and do some more writing with it. It's going to take me a minute to get there, I think, though, because I'm very, very emotional when it comes to my sister.
Yeah, yeah. My problem is I can't get away from the family. I just keep going and going. You know that stuff, right?
Right.
I'm going to other families. Hello? That's exciting, though. I love when Bud was asking you about that and, like, because it's very intriguing to all of us who aren't twins. You know, it's like, you know, I did one for my Exquisite Quartet column. I did a thing on they do cruises for twins. You know, I found it online, and I was absolutely riveted by it, that all these twins go on a cruise together. And it's
wow.
So I just started a story with that with three other writers. You know, that's one of those collaborative stories that I used to do. And, boy, did it go places. It was amazing. It got really crazy between the fraternals and the identicals. The fraternals were, like, jealous of the identicals.
Because they're not identical, of course.
Exactly. They figured they're sort of, like, half-assed compared to, you know, the identicals. So it was, like, a very weird story that came out of it. It was actually one of my favorites of all the ones I've done in this couple years with Exquisite Quartet. But, wow, that just blew me away because I didn't know that about you. There's so much I don't know about you except that I love your poetry. Love
Thank
it.
You.
And I love
Thank
what
you.
You love, poetry as well. I really do. And I love your children. I love to hear about what's happening with Jude. You know, I have a special love in my heart for Jude.
He's a special little kid. He's beyond this world amazing. His perspective and his rationale is just... It's incredible.
And he's so lucky to have a mom. You as his mom. He's so blessed. Anyway, I just wanted to send my love to you and send my love to Bud. I love you both. You guys are the best. And, you know, Bud, I'm sorry I keep, like, I love your show. So I
oh,
you
whenever
kidding
me? You're always welcome. I'm always so happy. I'm writing your the number you call in from. I'm writing it down because sometimes I have no idea who's calling in. Because they just pop up on the switchboard, and I'm like, I don't know. So I always think it's going to be somebody who's going to heckle me, which is fine. But I'm like, oh, who's this going to be a heckler? Or I don't want to interrupt an interview with somebody, you know, telling me I eat whale shit for breakfast, you know.
What do you eat for breakfast, Bud?
For breakfast, usually I just kind of like dig around in the fridge and whatever's there. It's just raw meat,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Handfuls of just random shit.
I think it'd be raw meat and kibbles or something like that, or
yeah.
I don't know, maybe Captain Crunch and raw meat.
Yeah, I just like dump raw coffee grinds and make a mash out of raw meat and coffee grinds, and I just eat that. Oh my god, Meg, you're the best. Thanks for calling in. Always call in, and it's great. I hope you have a good night out there in the desert. It gets cold out there.
You guys too. Thanks for having me. I love your show, and Stephanie, I adore you, and I'm giving you big hugs. Love you guys. Bye.
All right. Well, Meg, thank you.
Get you later to it. So Stephanie, I was wondering if I could pry some poems out of you. Do you have anything you would want to read?
I do.
Thank God.
All right. The first one I'm going to read is called Leftovers. You place the box of General Tso's in the fridge, knowing you'll never go back to it, just as you should have never brought Matt home again. Still, you ask the waitress to box it up, accepting that neglect is your method of cleanup. You spend nights without much appetite as you watch the late show in your blue-shadowed living room, listening to the laugh track you've come to mimic in conversations with your coworker and your cat. Now, weeks later, the plastic take-home container reeks from the fridge, smelling of old lettuce and rotting meat, and the stomach of your memories spills in the floor into a big heap.
That was something else. What's that poem called?
Leftovers.
Leftovers, yes. I'm sorry, I'm writing that one down. What are these poems from? Are they from any, is this from your collection at Top for Submission?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Will you read another one, please?
Sure. This is one that I, let's see. This is one that I actually recently wrote about a trip out to the river with me and my boys. It doesn't have a title yet, so I'm just going to start.
Okay.
On humid days, we drive to the river, where the boys make up games, requiring them to lurch outside of the yellow markers, refusing to give more bones to the river. The boats cooperate, and because they want to honor them, the brave ones whose bodies crowded the bed. I close my eyes on the sand, knowing the danger of rocks and dreaming about freedom and the openness of blue skies. The beach is man-made, unafraid of movement, as I sit locked inside of dream songs. The sand suctions my feet, suctioning from me the dreams that I never saw, the dreams I left in cities far away, far from my sleeping self. At night, the rocks are dangerous, and beneath the weight of water, I creep like those at the river's bottom. A helicopter stays close to the water like a dragonfly or god, and my eyes, like two great hawks, rise up, fly over the swimmers, looking for the two small boys I made. At the beginning and at the end, we are the ones that remain.
I really love that line, at night the rocks are dangerous. That's it's a really, really great image. So that's like a really, really just wonderful thing pulled out there.
Thanks. I am that person that I have a lot of anxieties about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think I let fear hold me back from many, many things. And so that's kind of what that's about, and it's just letting the fear of things hold you back from doing things. But, you know, I don't want to be that person at the end of life to go, I let fear hold me back from that. And that's one thing that I'm kind of working on and trying to overcome. I'm a pretty quiet person. I don't really put myself out there much. But, you know, I want to change that. I want to make it different and definitely put myself out there a little bit more than I have.
I think it's one of those things that, I mean, you're definitely trying to do it, so you're doing it. It's awesome. Because it's funny in life, as soon as you really realize the things that you want to do, you can always make an effort to do them. So I applaud you for that. It's fantastic. I'm afraid of the people who never take a look at their own life. They're the ones that really scare me.
I agree with that, 110%.
Yeah, you got to take a look every once in a while at the shit you're doing, for better or worse, whatever it is. You know, just take a peek at it, and especially examine whether you're happy or not. If you can figure that one out, you're in the 99th percentile, aren't you? So I'd really love it if you read another poem. Do you have another one?
Okay. I do. Okay. This one is called Forgive the Flowers, the Night Dimmed. You then, forgive the flowers, the night dimmed, the flowers you left on our empty table. Abruptly spring is brimming from the edge of the trees, and my soft white dress turns dim when clouds go gray, and my legs burn with fireflies, while the snow dies from our knees in that clearing of empty chairs that we scooted in the silent kitchen once full. No wife wants to know the child skipping alone of father's. From a field of butterflies, their little empty hands gather rocks ready for throwing, and that unknowing hum that arrived in my throat before summer, whether now dead or silent, whether awakened by eagerness or curled in defeat beside the table's brown legs, brims like dandelions from their core. And those flowers you left without a note, and the way I bowed my head in the white stillness shapes the outline of their growing.
Wow. That was a really good one. Now, can you leave us with one last poem? Is another one you'd like to read?
Certainly. This last one is called Dirt, and it was published in the Sal's Ear Poetry Review. I planted the cat in the side yard, let vines and bluegrass grow into her little ears. A horse, two parakeets in a puzzle box, a family of rabbits and a dog or two lay in the hill next to her. He took me to the side of the house, propped the shovel against the siding and kissed me. His mouth tasted like dirt. He had just buried another dead thing. I wanted to dig my way to China, dig my way out of his grip. He said once that I could do that, dig and come through on the other side like a beautiful flower.
That's dirt for sure, isn't it?
Indeed.
So, I really dug all those poems. I'm definitely a fan of poetry. I'm eagerly anticipating checking out this class. What's your summer look like? What are you up to this summer?
I'm sorry. Can you say that again? It cut out on me.
Oh, I said what are your plans in the summertime? Tennessee summertime, you guys. What's going on with the kids? You taking them anywhere? You guys just kind of staying put? What's happening summer vacation with you and your family?
Not too much, really. We'll spend, you know, a lot of time on the river, out at Cheatham Dam to see what's going on out there. Jude loves to swim, so I'll take him out there. And it's good for me to kind of get out in the fresh air and feel that sunshine, I suppose. But, you know, other than that, and the boys love to go to the library, there's no real big plans right now. Next summer I'm hoping to take them out to California to see my friend Jamie. But other than that, we're going to stick close to home.
That's great. I'll be thinking of you this weekend because I'm going down to Jersey. I'm going to go out on the creek. Paddling around, I'll be thinking of you and your family. You know, you guys on your river. That's that's quite something. I know when I was traveling around, because I'm not from a river community at all, you know, and winding up in little spots where, you know, just camping out on rivers and swimming around, and what a difference that was from where I grew up, I tell you that much. Have you always been from that kind of area? Where are you from originally?
Yep. Yeah, I'm from here. I lived in Nashville for about 6 years, but other than that, I've been here the whole time. My family grew up in a very, very rural community. We went out and chased lightning bugs, and I remember catching frogs and being afraid of them. And that's kind of where I grew up, in the middle of nowhere, playing in the woods and just hanging out with my sisters.
Oh, that sounds like a hell of a childhood, you know?
It was good. It was a good one.
Well, I wish the best for you and your family for summertime. I hope you guys have a great time, and that everything, all the weather stays nice, because it's rained a lot around here, and then I hope it stays nice down there too, especially for the holiday weekend coming up. You guys got big fireworks things going on down there in Clarksville?
Yeah, we'll probably go downtown. There's a big fireworks display down there. We could probably actually see it from my house because I live right there. But, I'm going to get the boys down in that crowd so they can go out and see them. So it's going to be
a good time. That's awesome. I hope you have a wonderful time. And I really appreciate you setting aside some time to call up and especially to read those great poems. I'm just blown away. And really looking forward to checking out some of these anthologies that you were talking about with Inception. And if people listening, they can check out Inception and via the website. It's just spelled INKCEPTION, Inception. Google that and click around and pick up these submissions for these anthologies, because that sounds pretty cool. Creepy and New Frontier, you're saying, right, Stephanie?
Yes. Thanks, bud. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. And the biggest thing of all, I'm really looking forward to, once again, the Up the Staircase dropping soon. I hope everybody keeps an eye out for that. And read till your heart stops, right?
Right. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, take care, Stephanie. Have a nice night. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.